The domestic political landscape on July 1st is remarkably active for what's technically a holiday week. Let me start with the Supreme Court ruling on birthright citizenship, because it's both legally and politically significant. The court rejected Trump's executive order attempting to restrict birthright citizenship on a 6-3 vote, upholding the 14th Amendment's guarantee. What's notable is the margin. This wasn't a close call among the justices. A 6-3 ruling in a court with a nominal conservative supermajority means at least two of the conservative justices sided with the liberal bloc to block the administration's position.
And the DOJ's response was immediate and revealing. Within hours of the ruling, the Justice Department directed prosecutors to prioritize birth tourism cases, essentially finding an adjacent enforcement mechanism for the same underlying policy goal. The court blocked the constitutional shortcut, so the administration is now pursuing a statutory and prosecutorial path. Whether that survives its own legal challenges is a separate question, but the speed of the pivot tells you the administration had this contingency ready.
The Supreme Court also blocked Trump from firing the copyright chief, which connects to a broader pattern of the court's drawing lines around which executive branch officials the president can remove unilaterally. These separation of powers rulings are accumulating in ways that will define the legal landscape for executive authority well beyond this administration.
On the congressional side, that 420-0 House vote to disclose misconduct settlements is genuinely striking, Marcus. Not because the policy itself is complicated. Transparency in congressional settlements is hard to argue against. But because it reversed a vote from just 4 months ago, where the same chamber killed a nearly identical measure 357-65. What changed? The political calculus shifted dramatically enough that members who voted against transparency in March were suddenly voting for it unanimously in June.
That kind of reversal in a short window usually means someone ran the numbers on what it would cost them in an election to have that March vote aired in ads. And the Colorado primaries yesterday give you a sense of why incumbents are nervous. Diana DeGette, who had served 15 terms, that's 30 years in Congress representing Denver, lost to a DSA-backed challenger named Quiros, 15 terms. To put that in context, DeGette was first elected in 1996. She's been in office longer than most of her constituents have been eligible to vote.
The DSA win in a Democratic primary in Colorado is a data point in an ongoing debate about whether progressive primary challenges are actually converting into victories at a meaningful rate. The conventional wisdom has been that the DSA overperforms in media coverage relative to actual electoral results. DeGette's loss challenges that narrative, at least for this cycle.
Meanwhile, Hickenlooper won the Colorado Democratic Senate primary, which was the less surprising result. Former governor, former Denver mayor, established statewide brand. But taken together, Colorado's Democratic primary results show a party trying to hold multiple ideological lanes simultaneously, a progressive insurgent winning one race, a centrist establishment figure winning another.
And the NYT or Siena polling data showing Texas tied in the Senate race deserves real attention. Texas hasn't sent a Democrat to the Senate since 1988. A tied race there, if it holds, represents a structural realignment, not just a polling artifact. Democrats competitive in six states simultaneously, according to the same poll set, suggests the party's map is expanding at a moment when you might expect a midterm environment to favor the opposition.
There's also the housing bill becoming law without Trump's signature, which is its own kind of political statement. A bill passes Congress, goes to the White House, and the president neither signs it nor vetoes it, allowing it to become law automatically after 10 days. That pocket non-signature signals Trump either has policy reservations he doesn't want to articulate publicly, or he calculated that a veto would be politically costly and a signature would be equally awkward with his base. So he chose the third option, let it happen without touching it.
The judge striking down Trump's public service loan forgiveness restrictions hours before the deadline is the other major domestic legal development. Millions of borrowers in PSLF programs were watching that clock, and a federal judge stepped in with what amounts to emergency relief. The administration had tightened eligibility criteria in ways the court found likely to exceed statutory authority.
Also worth mentioning, Representative Tom Keene Jr. returned to Congress this week and publicly revealed a depression diagnosis. In a body where mental health disclosures are still rare, that kind of public statement takes real personal courage, and it's likely to matter for the broader conversation about mental health in public life.